Even the wind and the sea obey him. Chapter 33. Softly a slender fisherman's boat sails over the glassy, smooth water of the Sea of Gennesareth. The distant sun has gone down behind the hills. Dusk is falling quickly, for it is evening. The first stars already are blinking in the heavens. The playful waves ripple softly against the wooden sides of the ship. It is quiet and calm. Nothing disturbs the peace of this beautiful evening. The tops of the mountains still reflect the last glow of light. More ships are sailing upon this lake, many of which are manned by fishermen who during the coming night hope to prove their skill in fishing. But this ship, which is sailing so calmly upon the lake, did not set sail for fishing purposes. No, the men who are at the helm have a different aim. Their plan is to sail directly across the lake, and there to go on shore. Who are they? They are the disciples of the Lord Jesus. The majority are fishermen who know the sea thoroughly. For many years they have fished in this same lake, thereby earning their livelihood. These men are at home upon the water. They have fished in these waters on many warm summer nights, and they have fished during heavy rainstorms, and they have fished there when storms raged and the thunder rolled. They are sturdy fishermen who have lived through many experiences. On this occasion, it is a real delight for them to be on the water this beautiful evening. Now more than ever before, because they do not have to work as hard as formerly, and then they had to cast out their nets and draw them in, which is hard work. And they do not have to do a thing now. They can enjoy completely the pleasant calm which reigns about them. Quietly and with subdued voices, and they converse together about what has taken place during the busy day which lies behind them. With subdued voices? Why? They really do not have to be fearful when in the center of the lake of waking someone, do they? Oh, no. And just look in the rear of the ship. Someone is calmly lying there with his head upon a pillow. The steady and heavy breathing of this man shows he is sleeping, and for this reason they speak in subdued voices. They do not want to awaken him. Who is this sleeping man? Ah, you already know, don't you? He is the Lord Jesus. Why isn't the Lord Jesus sitting with his disciples? Why isn't he enjoying the calm evening with them? The Lord Jesus was very tired. A long, tiresome day lay behind him. Undoubtedly, he spent the previous night in prayer. He came to Capernaum in the morning. He didn't have time to eat or drink anything, for as soon as he entered the house, the people came to him. There he preached and instructed the people. Then they brought to him one who was possessed of a devil, and who at the same time was blind and dumb. He completely cured this stricken man, and the Pharisees had slandered him. In the afternoon, he went to the shore of the Sea of Gennesareth. There he sat in a ship, teaching the large multitude with several parables. When he had sent away the multitude, Jesus and his disciples again went to Capernaum, for we read in Matthew 14, verse 36, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house." But when evening approached, He again walked with his disciples to the Sea of Gennesaret, and there Jesus commanded his disciples to sail to the other side. Is it surprising to you that the Lord Jesus was tired? He also was man. His body needed sleep and rest as well as ours. That is why he went to the rear of the ship. He stretched himself upon the boards, laid his head upon a pillow, and fell asleep. The disciples do not want to awaken him, for he has great need of rest. Let him sleep, they think, and they speak with subdued voices. The little boat sails calmly onward. But suddenly clouds cover the sky. The wind rises. The smooth water begins to ruffle violently. Mountains surrounded the Sea of Gennesaret. Here and there between these mountains were deep valleys. Sometimes vehement gusts of wind would descend from these mountains. Unexpectedly, violent storms would sweep the water into seething waves. One of these dangerous storms suddenly arises during this night. These sturdy fishermen are accustomed to storms. It isn't the first time they have experienced a storm on the lake. These men are not afraid of the wind and waves. Their muscular hands grasp the helm, and they sail onward. The slender boat rolls along upon the waves. However, the wind increases continually. The gale howls and whistles past the mast and through the ropes. The waves are swept higher and higher. They hit against the ship and burst asunder with a roar. The foam flies into their faces. The fishermen look at each other. It is beginning to get too rough. With anxious faces, they try to hold onto the helm. It is pitch dark, for the light of the stars is obstructed by dark clouds. From time to time, they cast a glance to the rear of the ship. Secretly, they hope Jesus will awaken. That would give them a more secure feeling. But Jesus sleeps on. Because he was so tired, he is sleeping so soundly that even the howl of the gale and the roar of the waves do not awaken him. The little ship is cast about like a nutshell by the violence of the waves. The waves dash against the craft. From time to time, the water streams inside, for the seething waves beat over the ship. The gale rages on without diminishing. Yes, the power of the wind has not yet reached its utmost height. Fearful terror creeps into the heart of these sturdy fishermen. If it doesn't change soon, they will drown. Their ship is going deeper into the water. Because so much water is coming in. Where are they? They do not know. It also could occur that their vessel soon would be broken to pieces against the rocks on the other side of the shore. They cast anxious glances toward the rear of the ship, to their sleeping master. Isn't he going to awaken? How is that possible? At last, they dare not wait longer. In a little while, the ship will sink. And they will perish in the raging waves. The fishing boat cracks in every joint. Carefully, so they are not thrown overboard, and yet as quickly as possible, they shuffle to the rear of the boat and cry in terror, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" It is as if they say, "Master, get awake, and we are at the point of drowning, and we cannot let you sleep longer." Jesus wakens. Does he frighten when he hears the roaring of the tempest? Does he fear when he hears the seething of the waves? No. Would the Creator of heaven and earth fear? No. While he is still lying down, he asks calmly, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" He remains composed in the midst of the violence of the waves. It is as if Jesus says, "How is it you are afraid? Am I not with you? You need not fear." He stands up and rebukes the wind. At that same instant, the roaring of the hurricane ceases, but the ship still is cast about violently upon the mighty waves. Then the commanding voice rings out, "Peace, be still," and the sea becomes calm. It is as if a mighty hand presses down the white-capped waves. We read in the Bible that there was a great calm. Oh, can you visualize to yourself what that is? Probably many of you do not know what the sea is. Did you ever see the ocean when a gale of wind is roaring? Have you seen the high white-capped waves when they came crashing down thunderingly upon the shore or pier? That is a powerful sight. At such an occasion, we see a little of God's greatness in creation. The children who live close to the ocean will be able to understand this best. Suddenly, upon Jesus' word of power, there is a great calm. How wonderful and how strange. No howling of the screaming windstorm is heard anymore, and no seething of the waves is felt. Instead, there is a great calm. A great calm also prevails in the ship. The disciples of the Lord Jesus stare at him in utmost astonishment. Yes, more than astonishment lies in their eyes, for we read in God's word, "And they feared exceedingly." It is true, they so often have seen their master perform miracles, and it is equally true that the palsied, blind, lame, leprous, dumb, and those possessed by the devil have been cured, for they have witnessed this many times. Only a short time ago, the young man of Nain had been raised from the dead. But they never could surmise that even the winds and the sea would obey him, for that never entered their thoughts. They look at each other and cry out in astonishment, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The Lord Jesus was God and man. His tiredness proved he was man. It made him sleep so soundly that even the noise of the storm and the sea could not awaken him. That he was God is manifested now. The roaring wind ceased, and the tempestuous sea calmed upon his command. Calmly, as if nothing had happened, the ship again sails upon the glassy, smooth lake. The force of nature is also subjected to the King of Kings. The disciples never forgot this night. That night, the disciples learned a great lesson in their life. But we too can learn much from this story. You still are young children, but it also will storm in your lives. It is evident that I do not mean an ordinary storm. This world is full of trouble, and sorrow. Our lives are sometimes compared to a ship which is sailing upon the sea of life. If I say it will storm sometimes, I mean that all sorts of adversity and reverses will strike you. You can be sure of that. One of you, while in your youthful days, may lose his father or mother or both. Another may lay for years upon a sick bed. A third may have reverse after reverse in his work or business. At those times, the storms roar in our lives. Often, we get angry and blame God for these troubles. When we told you of the children of Israel roaming about in the wilderness for 40 years, we saw that the children of Israel murmured often. But they are not the only ones who murmur. We do it too. We often murmur when we have adversity. Still, murmuring is so ungodly. God is not the cause of our misery, but we are the cause. It is the result of sin. We do not want to bear the fruits of sin, but we do want to commit sin. Where must we seek help when everything goes against us? The great question for us is Jesus on board? Do you understand what I mean? Has the Lord Jesus entered into your heart? Do you know this King of Kings personally for yourself in your heart? God's people do not sail alone. That is to say, they do not have to go through this life alone. Their Savior is with them. Their Savior holds in his hand the helm of their life. It is true, storms also will roar in the life of God's people. Yes, with them sometimes it is even worse than with the wicked. Adversity, sorrow, and misery shall be their portion here upon the earth. But perish? Drown? Go into the deep? No, never. The great helmsman will take care of that. The Lord Jesus will take things into his hand. He will bring them safely into the harbor. Not one of his people shall go lost. God's people are so blessed, aren't they? Poor, poor, unconverted boys and girls. With you, Jesus is not on board. That is to say, you do not know the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, you have heard of the Lord Jesus, but that does not mean that you know him. Not at all. As unconverted, you must go through this life alone. If adversities come, the wicked do not have a mighty helper. They are alone upon the dark sea of life, alone with all their grief and sorrow. May you realize how wretched you are. Alas, the ship of life of many is dashed to pieces upon the rocks of eternity. Do you know what that means? The life of many ends in despair, in destruction. That is the end of all those who live here upon the earth in sin. It will be the end of all those who never learn to know the Lord Jesus as the Savior, as their Savior. See the great difference between those who fear God and those who do not fear God. There is no third way. It is one of the two. Do you dare live longer without Jesus on board? Do you think you can go through life alone? Don't you have need of the Lord? If not, Then I have but one word for you, and that is fools. Soon you will realize, but then it will be too late, that you never will sail into the safe harbor. When death comes for you, you will have no savior who will calm the waves, who will take away the dread of death. Living without Jesus means dying without Jesus. Oh, bend your knees and ask if he will come on board, if he will live and work in your heart. Ask if he will guide and govern you. Ask if he will grant you saving faith. Ask if he will forgive your guilt. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him in your youth, before the storms come, before the evil days come, and your ship will sink into the waves of God's wrath. May the Lord open your blind eyes to the deadly danger in which you are living. May he make your dead heart alive.